It's one thing to understand faith, to get the gospel right and understand it, but it's another thing to be trained by it. And I have to say that God really put me into the training school in New York City. Having given the light of the glory of Jesus Christ, then he plunges me into this dark place where I had to be trained. And I tell you, I was not a very good student. Maybe I was in some ways, but the defeats were crushing and devastating. But that's part of the story. Embarrassing as it is, I have to tell it. At least I can avoid the embarrassment of the details, perhaps. So Colin Cook here, thank you for listening. How it happens, the gospel, how the gospel happens in Christ and in us. So I hope you'll stay, and I hope you'll listen in. During those New York years, those 3.5 years in New York from 1971 to 74, I guess I could say I was in God's classroom, though I will hasten to say I don't think I've ever graduated from it. I'm in God's classroom today as well. But in the darkness, in the struggle, in the defeats, in the attempts to overcome, the attempts to walk faithfully with God, the failures that ensued, I believe that I was learning how to exercise faith. For instance, I was learning from the gospel, from the book of Romans, how to affirm that I was counted as whole in Jesus Christ. Romans, I'm sure, more than any other book, teaches that God is our righteousness. Christ is our righteousness. Righteousness is accounted to us. Righteousness being wholeness, God defending us and giving us his wholeness in Jesus Christ. This was a totally new thing for me. I was trying to become righteous in myself. I was trying to, by overcoming and by ultimate hoped for victory, then I would be righteous. Now, instead of pleading for that, I started to praise. I started to thank God that in Christ I was counted as whole. But I want you to know that that came not from a calm heart, but in enormous conflict. Was I kidding myself? Who am I fooling? Those are the feelings that I felt sometimes. How could I have the gall to account myself righteous when I was in fact so very wicked? My human nature seemed so corrupt, and was in fact so corrupt, and is still to this day so corrupt, and so distorted and perverted. How can I count myself righteous? Of course, that created an enormous conflict within my soul. And so I would, without hesitation, say to you that the struggle was one of severe wrestling, conflict, wrestling with God, affirming, Father, I will not let you go. I cannot let you go. Like Jacob's wrestle, you know, in the book of Genesis, I began to discover the meaning of that wrestle in the days of New York. You see, one might say that the days of Andrews University in Michigan were learning what the gospel meant and said. Although that's an overstatement, because I was trusting as well in those days. But New York was more than learning, it was practically applying it and struggling on how to apply it. I felt that God would have me wrestle with him and say, Lord, I cannot let you go, even while I'm failing, even while I'm sinning, even while I am so discouraged, I cannot let you go. I will not let you go. This was the tenor of my emotions in those days in New York so many times. I learned how to praise. I thought, well, if it's true that God has done all this in Christ, then surely we need to start, and I need to start, thanking him and praising him. This, I was tipped off to this idea by, Carruthers in the book Power in Praise. Is it Merlin Carruthers? And that little book helped me. I realize now that I got that book a bit later, 74, by then. But anyway, I was certainly learning to praise in New York by myself, learning, Lord God, I thank you that the victory is already won. Father, I thank you for who I am in Jesus Christ. And who was I in Christ? Counted as righteous, yes, but also counted as heterosexual. Counted as created in God's image, male for female, just as creation had done, just as God had done in creation, though, of course, I had lost that. It was buried under 1,000 fears and 1,000 worries and troubles and losses of bonding to a male parent. And so, though I praised God that I was counted as heterosexual, I didn't feel it. I didn't experience anything on the gut, emotional, and physical level. This was like telling myself a lie, in a way. Yet it was really telling myself the truth. My human nature had been lying to me. It's lying to me to this day. I never trust my human nature anymore. Though the homosexual orientation is greatly diminished in me, it's still there. I will not deny that. I have to admit that. I don't let it bother me nowadays. I don't let it anguish me because I know who Christ is. But back then, the whole idea was completely new and foreign. To account myself as whole, to account myself as heterosexual in Christ by creation and then by redemption, you see, was new and foreign and seemed so strange. But as I continued to praise, as I continued to thank, I noticed that my prayers changed. My prayers changed from anxiety praying, distress praying, what I call neurotic prayers often. Neurotic religiousness, that's what often this is all about. They began to change from that to more confident praying, not calm praying at all times. Often I would pray out of great assertiveness. What shall I say? I'll call it a faith prayer that was being pushed reluctantly out of an unwilling heart or out of an unbelieving human nature. I want to stress that. I want to say that because faith praying is not natural to the Spirit. It is not natural to our humanity. It almost seems like foreign words in our minds. But affirming who I was in Christ by what the gospel was revealing in the book of Romans, by praying in faith that the victory was already won, did give me more victories than I would have had without that, if I had been endlessly, anxiously praying to overcome in order to be righteous, in order to receive the affirmation of God and the acceptance of God. I am quite sure I would have been overwhelmed and completely crushed by New York. It was there that I insisted by faith that I was not abandoned, even though my sins were so great, even though my failures and defeats were so awful. I had to affirm that I was not abandoned, that the wrath of God had been, that God had taken his own wrath upon himself, not upon me. And so I didn't go into this dark, yes, I did, but not so much. This dark moodiness that just overwhelmed me because of my defeats. I could break through in prayer more often. I don't want to make a romantic story out of this. I don't think that I learned that very much, very well in New York, but I started to learn it. And I would say even now I'm still learning it. I still go through deep, dark valleys of distress, and then I learn to praise in those valleys and give thanks to him. I was learning as well that I was not under the power of sin, even though defeat was coming my way. Lord God, I praise you that this failure has no power over me to separate me from you, to cause me to be in bondage to it. That seemed again an incredible contradiction, and yet what it led to was being able to bounce back more easily from a defeat and a failure. To bounce back, to have that ability to be more resilient. Bounce back ability, I called it. I learned from that that so much of our failure comes not from the act itself, but our reaction to it. When we get so depressed from our defeats, when we get so overwhelmed by the sense that we are under judgment, then we dare not open the Bible. We have no heart to open the Bible for weeks on end. We feel so depressed that we're imperfect Christians. And the reaction to our failure thereby becomes more powerful than the failure itself. But as I was able to say, Father, I thank you that though I have sinned and failed, I am not condemned. I praise you that you have not separated yourself from me, that I am not abandoned under your wrath. That enabled resilience to kick in. Resilience, bounce back ability, the ability to bounce back. And then I was not under the condemnation of the law. I was counted as righteous in Christ. I sought to speak that into my heart and to affirm, Father, I thank you that I'm counted as righteous. I'm not trying to become righteous. You see, this didn't lead to a passivity in me, as so many people listening to this broadcast have thought, perhaps over the years. I know some of you think I'm a soft Christian. Somebody said that to me long ago. But if he would be listening tonight, I hope he would certainly change his mind. This has nothing to do with softness. To be able to affirm that we're counted as righteous when we're wicked and sinful doesn't lead us to indifference, although I grant you it can lead us to slacken up. But then we get back up again and we fight again. And we go on. And this is not a fight, I hasten to add, against sin, but against unbelief, against the tendency to believe that God will surely abandon us if we have done so much wrong. And then the fact that I was freed from the power of death. These mini-deaths that take place every day, especially the feeling of death after a defeat. Oh, my goodness, how we feel so hollow after a defeat, after a failure. But affirming before God, Lord God, I praise you that the power of death is broken and that this struggle and even this failure is in the resurrection of Jesus, and I am learning to live in his resurrection. And so, what did the days of New York mean to me? They really were the classroom. They really were the melting pot, if you like. They were the place where faith was like the rubber meeting the road. And I grant you, the road is a pretty dirty place. But that's where faith has to take on the battle. Your donations are really appreciated. Thank you very much for sending them, especially during this Thanksgiving season. It's an expression of thanks to God, I'm sure, from you to God, that is coming via us. That's wonderful. Thank you very, very much. I would really like to encourage you to become a partner of this radio broadcast. This radio broadcast is now in its 17th year. What a marvelous record that is, and I thank you. It's because of you that it is in its 17th year. If you would like to become a partner by donating on a monthly basis or quarterly or annually or biannually, please send your first check to Faith Quest, P.O. Box 366, Littleton, Colorado 80160. That's Faith Quest. You mark the check Faith Quest, P.O. Box 366, Littleton, Colorado 80160. I'll send you my Cook's Monthly Message as an appreciation. That's on the book of Hebrews at present. And we'll be moving to another theme later on when we finish the book of Hebrews. If you don't want any literature, simply send your check with a note, no literature, please. Thank you again, then. And remember, your donations are tax deductible. I'll send you a receipt in January sometime to acknowledge that and for you to use that for tax deductible purposes. See you next time. Cheerio and God bless.